21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Those who understand it will eat its fruit. Those that listen to this message, thank you, amen. You got it, you got it. How many are here this morning? Okay. What I want, you know, it's interesting that we, when it's words, we spell words. Say, how did you spell that? Did you know there's another use for the word spell? Oh, how about a witch's spell? I'll put a spell on you, right? Why is that the same word? Because words have death and life. Wow. Listen. Sound opens portals. A couple weeks ago, I talked a little bit about this subject. And I've been looking at this, and I can't remember how much I said last time, and I'll be very brief. But all over the world, they're finding more and more these ancient structures, right? And when we look, and by the way, they're everywhere. You got those big heads on Easter Island. I mean, out in the middle of nowhere, Easter Island is about the furthest you can get away from land. You see it in the Americas. There's one of these in southern Ohio. They're all up and down the Mississippi River. You got them in Europe. You got them in Africa. You got them in Asia. They're on every continent. I don't know about Antarctica because there's too much snow up there. But maybe if they melt it, they'll find some up there. But the question is, how in the world did they build these things? And how about this question? Why in the world? Who thought, let's get 100-ton stone and lift it up? I mean, why not just break it into smaller pieces and then bring it in that way? And I just saw a show the other day where, what's that show, The Unexplained or something? And they said, here's how they built the pyramids. And they brought this 20-ton rock, and they put the rollers down there, and they poured water on the rollers. I guess that lubricates it. And they put ropes on it. They had about 40 men, and they just went along. And what they didn't tell you is there's heavier rocks than that in the pyramids. There's one that's, I think it was 100 tons, and it's lifted up. You know they could have done that easier. They could have put a smaller rock up there. Again, why? And when you ask these people, the Aboriginals in Australia, or the Native Americans here in America, or the tribes in the Amazon. By the way, they're doing that LIDAR now, and they're finding structures all over the place. I mean, major structures they never knew were there. And you ask these natives, who built these? How many know somebody asked that question in every generation? Every time someone's born, they said, wow, who made these? So you can trust that it's carried from generation, even thousands of years. They're still saying every generation, here's who built this, right? And the best ones were built before the flood. And the ones that aren't as good were built after the flood. You would think they would start with the worst and then get better. No, they got really good, and over time they lost that knowledge. So who gave them that knowledge? This is a whole sermon, and I preached a little bit of it before, but some of you only come once a month, so here we go. Jesus, I'm mean today. I'm mean. So, Genesis 6:1, right? Fallen angels. And when you read the Jewish literature, the book of Enoch, it goes into great detail. It doesn't contradict anything in the scriptures. It's not Bible, but it's there. Peter believed in it. Jude believed in it because they quote from it. So the book of Enoch explains all this, that these fallen angels, their sin was not just rebellion. It was giving them knowledge they're not supposed to have yet. So that's why they can start with the best pyramid was the first pyramid. I saw it the other day, and they said they had this picture of the old junky pyramid. And they said, oh, yeah, here's Egypt's first pyramid. I was yelling at the TV, no, it wasn't! Get your facts straight. The best one was built first, and they got worse over time because they lost that knowledge, especially after the flood. After the flood. Come on now. How many are with me? And when they asked them, how did your ancestors do it? Here's what every one of them say. The rocks just floated over. Yeah, you'd laugh. But what if there was a frequency that would actually cause rocks to move? Oh, that's impossible. Jericho? Did they push them down? Did God give them a cannon? Rock around 7 times and keep your mouth shut. Let this thing build. And on the 7th day, march around 7 times. And when you get to the 7th time, I want you to shout! And solid walls. They were thick enough for chariots to ride on. Solid walls fell out. Oh, you can't move rocks with vibrations. Interesting. Just the other day I saw this. You're not ready for this. I got one ready. Anyone else ready? There's another one ready. 3. I got 3. As long as I have 3, I got a witness. Okay. I saw this on TV just this week, and they've invented a thing, they call it a sound gun, and when they aim it at fire, it immediately puts the fire out. And they said, how does it put the fire out? It said, how many know fire needs a source, it needs something to burn, and it needs oxygen. This instrument doesn't remove the oxygen. It changes the molecules so that oxygen's not oxygen anymore, and it puts the fire. I saw the demonstration. They pull the trigger and boom, the fire's out. They changed the molecular structure of oxygen with sound. This is not a theory. This is not something they hope to do someday. They have the machine built. There's a company that builds these, and they want every fire department in the country to have one of these guns. And then they want every household. So you can get rid of your fire extinguisher, and you get a sound gun. And when your husband burns the toast and there's fire coming out of, you just shoot it and it's out like that. They change the molecules so oxygen doesn't, they don't eliminate it, they don't block it, they change it. So if they can do that, why can't they do something with the molecules in rocks? Okay, I know you think that's weird. But when you get one of those in your house, you give me a call and say, you were right, Pastor. Wow. So I don't know exactly how it is, but that's how it is. And sound can open portals. Could it be that's why God tells us to sing? And isn't that why the enemy has all this weird music and driving beats? Come on. I'm not saying don't have music. I'm saying sing to the right person. Because you can get into stuff that opens demonic portals. Listen, I knew this growing up. How many know my past? I won't get into it. Nobody knows my past. Carol knows. Okay. I knew then the power of music. Come on. I knew what it was doing to me. Woo, glory to God. No, I quit that 5 years ago. God, come on. I mean, I understood that. By the way, we talked last week about hallucinogenics. You know, I've noticed something, that people who come out of the drug culture can connect to heaven easier because they've been in a spiritual dimension, although demonic. They've been in a spiritual dimension and they can connect. I know in my own experience, it was pretty easy. It still is easy for me to connect to the spirit realm. I hope that's not spooky. You okay? I don't want to be spooky. Wow. You know, so sound opens portals. Listen, ever since the Garden of Eden, the devil has been trying to open these portals. When he came to Eve and spoke, those words messed her up. They got thrown out of Eden. My God. See, Eden was full of sound. There was an atmosphere of worship there. Come on. Creation just vibrating as one. How many remember the scripture when God made Eve? And by the way, we don't know how long it was before he did that. But at some point, he made Eve, right? And look at the scripture. It's actually a poem that Adam says. And some people say it could easily be a song. So when Adam saw Eve, he was singing a song. Come on now. Woo! He's like, God, now you made me something. Amen. Although I got a pain in my chest. you'll get it later. All right. I believe God designed sound as the carrier of his glory. Oh, come on. Come on. Come on. We talked about Joshua. But also in Joshua, okay, we said that. But how about in 1 Samuel? I won't read. You guys could scroll through the scriptures. But in 1 Samuel, there's that Paul had a demon. He was demon-possessed. And it troubled his mind. And they said, and they found who? They found David. And he played the harp. And they said whenever David would play the harp, that demon had to leave. And Saul says, oh, that feels good. Come on, keep playing, David. Keep playing. David says, my hands are figuring out. I've been playing 8 hours. But when David would leave the room, that demon would come right back and torment him until he thought he was losing his mind. And when he couldn't handle it anymore, he'd say, bring David in that harp. Music drove away demons. How many believe our praise team can send demons a running? Woo! I think we start keeping the doors open. Let them go, let them go, let them go. Amen? Say amen. Oh, my God, hallelujah. Let me give you another example. Over in 2 Chronicles, and some of you may not know this story. Let me read this one. And he said, "Listen, all of you Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude." They are outnumbered 10 to 1. "Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you." Yeah. So they rose early in the morning and went into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe it's his prophets, and you shall prosper." Some of you will believe this word. You'll prosper. "And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise," woo, "the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army." Jehoshaphat, this is so stupid. Why would you send musicians out in front of the army? Easy targets. Kill the musicians. Right? They're marching out ahead of the army. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. Where was I? Okay. And here's what they were saying. "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." I don't know if that was the tune, but I'm making it today. Because that's all they sang. It wasn't three verses and a chorus. It was praise. Some of you gripe and complain when we sing the same song too often. That's all they sang. Over and over. They're marching ahead of the army. "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." And I know the enemy's going like, "These stupid musicians. They're singing. That's what they're sending. Next verse. Woo, glory to God. "Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who had come against Judah, and they were defeated." The army didn't even fight. How many believe the battle is the Lord's? Come on, the battle is the Lord's. Give him praise. It's interesting that Ezekiel and John in the book of Revelation say this, that the voice of the Lord is as the sound of many waters. Have you ever been to Niagara Falls? That sound, it'll just about, I mean, it's crazy. His voice is like that. Not that it sounds like that, but it has the impact of that. I know it's a still small voice, and you ought to thank God it is. Because if he really wanted to wake you up, honey, he could do it. But he's a gentleman, and he'll speak softly. Softly. How many know the story of Lucifer? 5, 10, okay. Ezekiel 28, verse 13, talks about this. It says, "You were in Eden, the garden of God," right? "Every precious stone was your covering. Sardis, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise." Man, this guy was, he had quite the look. He had the look. "The workmanship of your timbrels and praise was prepared for you on the day you were created." Some say what that means is he actually had musical instruments in him. He just said, "I don't even know how to do that." But somehow within his body, he could produce music because he was the cherub who covers. That meant that he was one of those right on the throne of God. He's right around the throne, singing music to God. And one day he said, "You know what? I'm tired of this." Oh, don't ever get tired of worship. Jesus. Right? I don't know why they're still stuck on 2 Chronicles, but okay. Wow. You are the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walk back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created until iniquity was found in you. Listen, the enemy knows the power of sound and music. We talked about Babel. Let me just share this, repeat this real quick. The Tower of Babel was not about how tall they can build it. Because we have buildings, many buildings, much bigger than Babel. We've been to the moon. It wasn't about the height. It was about the purpose. You see, they always wanted to be, how many know almost all these temples are on mountains? You want to get up high, close. And what they were trying to do was pierce, was try to open a portal. And God said, if they open that portal, all hell could break loose. Woo! So he stopped them from that portal. How many are hearing what I'm saying? Ephesians 5:19. Do we have that? Ephesians 5:19. It says this. Let me just tell you what it says. Sing to yourselves. There it is. No, it isn't. Then, y'all making my job really hard. Am I doing a good job? I'm looking who's not clapping. I'm looking. Speaking, say speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. By the way, that's three classifications of music. I won't get into it. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. This is not just being cute or being nice or saying, you know, that guy doesn't know how to sing. He really shouldn't be. God's saying that we can actually sing to each other and the Spirit of the Lord could move in that. The worship team, when they worship, are fulfilling Ephesians 5:19. Sometimes instead of giving someone a word, you need to just sing them a song. Oh. The Lord knows there's something about sound that can change things. How many know on Lucifer's side? Because Lucifer was worship leader in heaven. How many know he knows how to use music? Be careful what you listen to. The chanting, the repetition, the volume. Come on. These altered states. By the way, the leaders in this are like Madonna, Beyonce, Jay-Z. They kind of lead this. They'll tell you that they use hallucinogens. They'll tell you that they believe music actually can manipulate people. And they're right at the head of this. My God, help us in this place. Jesus. And then there's things like hypnosis. Because here's the thing. You need to understand, if you want to open a portal, you have to be focused on that. You can't have any distractions. Oh, Jesus. Maybe that's why on the day of Pentecost they were all one and in one place, in one accord. And when they weren't sitting in the pew saying, I wish that preacher would shut up because they got chicken dinner waiting. I want to get to the mall before the Baptist, or you know what? you imagine what would happen if we can get all? There's power in that. Because all the distractions are gone and a portal. What happened? The Holy Spirit came out of heaven and came into the room. Lord, help us. How many are hearing what I'm saying? Oh, Jesus. So what they want to do is, and so don't do this. They say, right, first of all, you got to sit. I'm not going to do it. I won't be able to get up. They sit cross-legged and all that. And they say a mantra. They go, hum, hum. You say, oh, that's stupid. No, no, it's not. Because they're getting everything else out of their mind. And they're focusing on that frequency. And it opens a portal. I don't mean to scare you, but it works the same way on God's side. Now, I'm not telling you to go... Jesus. No, don't. It doesn't quite work like that. But if you want to live under a portal, you need to be focused on God and get rid of the distractions. That's why they tell you, if you're going to pray, go in a closet somewhere, shut the door. You can even play music unto the Lord because that helps you focus on the Lord. Am I helping anybody? I believe that's why there's power in coming together. I'm getting tired of these people who say, oh, I don't need church. It's just me and Jesus. Well, good luck with that. I'm not saying you can't go to heaven. But you might be lonely up there. Okay. Are you still with me? So here it is. Guard your gates. Guard your gates. Don't be opening things you shouldn't be opening. Don't be messing with stuff you shouldn't be messing with. They ask people like Madonna, you know, about her music. He said, yeah, there's certain keys or chords. I don't know. I'm not a musician. But there's certain chords that have certain frequencies and make people feel a certain way. Google it. Not right now, but. But certain tones, you know, make you happy or sad, or and it's actually in the frequency. I know people say, I love the words. Oh, you don't even know the words. We're drawn to a song because of the melody and the beat, because of the frequency of it. And that's okay if it's a God song. Am I helping anybody? So speak to yourselves, right? Revelation 15, 3 and 4. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways. Am I singing? O King of the saints, who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all nations shall come and worship before you. For your... Just find a scripture. Don't just read it. Find a way to sing it. Because it's meant to connect you. I mean, the words do too, but singing it is powerful. Psalms 18, verse... I'm giving you some samples. Write these down and... I will love you, O Lord, my strength. I love you, Lord. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord. Woo! Come on. He's worthy to be praised. I'll be saved from my enemies. The pains of death surrounded me. The floods of ungodliness made me afraid. Ooh, the sorrows of hell surrounded me. Snares, my God, David. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. I cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ear. There's a frequency. The Lord thundered. Frequency. From heaven. And the Most High uttered his voice. Hailstones, coals of fire, sent out his arrows and scattered the foe. Lightnings in abundance, and he vanquished them. Oh, my God. When the enemy comes like a flood, why don't you just read this to him? Come on and praise the Lord if you know what I'm saying. Revelation. No. How about Psalms 40 and 3? He has put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. I don't have time to preach this, but new song just doesn't mean a song you don't know. It's a song at a whole different level. It's a song that breaks into the heavenly places. That's what he means by new. New, a song at a different level. Put it in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it in fear. I will trust in the Lord. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Whew. Jesus, help us. Revelation 5:9. Y'all praying for me. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. You were slain. You have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe. And it's just good to repeat what God's done. If you want God to do something tomorrow, sing about what he did yesterday. Come on, somebody. Woo! Okay, where do I want to go? I'm almost done. No, I'm not sure. Psalms 40 and 3, he has put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God, many will see it in fear, and they'll trust the Lord. Revelation 5:9, and they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll. Okay, we've read that. Acts chapter 16, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors opened and everyone's chains was loose. If you want to get free, sing. If you want to break some doors down, sing. If you want an open portal, an open door to heaven, sing. Bring the earthquakes. Bring the wind of God. Hallelujah. Break the shackles. Glory. Hallelujah. Sing a song. All they did was sing and pray. And God, whoo, somehow they hit a frequency. And the jail cells, and opened up because of that. For how many believe that? Amen. Oh, God is good. God is good. Psalms 40 and 3. He has put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. When God does something for you, it's not just for you. It's for someone standing near you. A lot of people miss that, and then they miss everything. But just remember, God's wanting to do a work in you. Sing. Worship. And does anybody have a new appreciation for worship? You need to wake up in the morning with a song of the Lord. I can't sleep at night. Put a song on. Get in the right frequency. I promise you, you'll be sound asleep. Don't do it while driving. Amen. How many are understanding what I'm saying? This is real. This is real. One of the most amazing things, you ever hear of these? I'll close with this. Star's up here, so I have to shut up. She decides when I end. You know that, right? Why do I keep embarrassing you? Why do I do that? These people who die and go to heaven and they come back, one of them said this, and it's the one that has stood out and it's just touched me ever since. He said, when I went to heaven, what he noticed was that everything was giving off a song. He said the grass and the flowers and the trees were all vibrating and releasing, singing grass. Not marijuana, singing. That'll sing too. I quit that 7 years ago. All right. The trees, remember they're clapping their hands? The breeze going through heaven had a song in it. The flowers were singing. This is crazy. But he said, everywhere I went, if it was living, it sang. If it was living, it was singing in heaven. Look for it when you get there. It's not going to be a quiet place. Did you hear me? It's not going to be a quiet place. Ezekiel talks about this. John talks about this. Heaven is noisy. If you don't like, you say, well, it's too loud in here. Well, you better not go to heaven. Hell is kind of loud, too, but that's a different kind of, Yeah, you don't want that for all. He put a new song in my mouth. Heaven is a loud place. It has its own frequency. It vibrates with the vibration of God himself. Everything. It's not about, where's Jesus? He's everywhere. God's everywhere. Heaven is a wonderful place. Glory and I sang way too many songs today. When I sing, there's no frequency at all. It's just stand to your feet, so I'll shut up. They didn't start my clock, so I don't even know how long I preached. You okay? Okay. What time is it? Oh my God, it's 20 till 12. Whew. Part two. Sit down. No. We're going to beat the Baptist today. Amen. Glory to God. Can you pray with me? Father, in the name of